Welcome back to the Small Business Show. I'm your host, Lori Brooks. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to subscribe, like, and share. This week, I have the pleasure of chatting with my co-host, Jeff Beal, and an award-winning communications specialist, Pam Perry. With over 20 years in the public relations industry, Pam's clients are featured in major media outlets such as CNN, Oprah Magazine, Ebony, Essence, and Radio One, to name a few. Pam is also the publisher of Speakers Magazine and co-founder of Digital Business Acceleration. Listen in as the most prepared guest ever shares her joy, her journey, and her wisdom.
So Pam, welcome and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Lori, for having me.
Certainly. It is a pleasure to have you as a guest. Along with me today, I have my co-host, Jeff Beal, who is known as Mr. Marketology. He is a marketing strategist. So Jeff, welcome and thank you for joining us as well.
Hey, how you doing, Lori? Thanks for having us on and I'm glad to be on the show again with you.
Certainly, certainly, certainly. So Pam, I am excited to dive into your journey. But before we do, I want to rewind the clock just a bit. I want to go back to the days of junior high or high school. I want you to think of a time when an aunt or an uncle or a mentor would have said to you, what is it you want to be when you grow up? What was the answer to that question?
Let's do high school because I went to Cass Tech and that was a really like a college preparatory school. So besides asking what college you're going to, what is it you want to be when you grow up? So I really wanted to own an advertising agency when I was in high school. I wanted to work in advertising. I didn't really know what that looked like. I read a novel on the way to school on the bus, and I just thought it was cool to be in the creative space of advertising. And I remember the book. It was called Rosemary Touch, and it was written by a lady named Lois Wise, who actually owned by the time I was really like maybe in college for maybe a couple of years, I looked her up and she was still around, older lady. And I told her that her book influenced me to go into advertising.
Oh, wow.
That is outstanding. I love it. And you already answered the next question too, because I was going to say, what is it that sparked that journey for you? What is it that sparked entrepreneurship in your life? And I love how you've already explained it was the book. You know, you had that opportunity that a piece of literature sparked the journey for you. So thank you for sharing that, definitely. What do you feel really helped you as you recognized, okay, I want to go into advertising? What helped you actually decide, okay, I'm going to begin to move in this direction and begin branding myself?
It was no matter where I was always asked to do the same type of thing, to write copy, to promote, to bring together people, to bring the hype about it, to share it. It was just no matter where I was, if I was in church, if I was in a club, if I was in another type of group, I would be the person that will be in charge of marketing, PR, advertising. Not that I could draw, but the words or even maybe the energy, the excitement, I don't know what it was, but definitely for sure.
I love how the evolution of your journey really came directly from the book. And then you not only followed it, but there was a push for you. There was a direction that people around you, the people you were surrounded by, kind of drove you to, showed you what those strong points were, and then you started branding yourself. So what do you feel like were some of the hiccups you experienced?
I would say one of the hiccups was, I'm from Detroit, and so I go to a Black school, and I'm pretty much always around Black people. And so when I went away to college, I didn't realize that I'm a minority. Isn't that weird? It's just weird. Anyway, so Detroit, we had a Black mayor. We had Black teachers. We had a Black police chief. It was just like Chocolate City. And so when I went away to college, I didn't feel like I fit in for the first time in my life. That was really shocking to me. I don't know whether my parents kept me sheltered or what. I just, I'm a child of the 60s. We had Berry Gordy here. I mean, we felt like we were running things. So when I go off to college, it's like, you're not running things. No, we're not going to let you on this. We're not going to let you be on the newspaper. No, we're not going. It's not going to be as easy if you don't have that entitlement. There was a thing that they call white entitlement. So I didn't, that was the first time I really recognized it. So that was pretty shocking, but that really shaped the course of my career, because at that point I became very cognizant being Black and some of the challenges that would take. Also being a Black woman, glass ceilings, things like that, that really shaped in terms of being involved in the National Association of Black Journalists, starting an organization called Blacks in Advertising, Radio, and Television. To this day, I have Speakers Magazine, focuses on Black speakers. My company focuses on Black ministry leaders. I mean, so it really became a pivotal point, like, no one's really looking out for us. We've got to really look out for each other, and we have to band together in order to be stronger. And that really became, well, we now are hearing all this thing about Tulsa, about the Black Wall Street, but I didn't really hear about that until way into adulthood. So I was thinking, like, well, what else do we need to do in order to lift our race up? So that's been my mission. It was something that was hard, but it really shaped what it is that I'm about right now. And I'm very pro-Black about everything. I speak about Black media. I speak about supporting Black businesses. I really try to leave that Black pride, you know, Black power, Black pride to people. Not to say that anything is wrong with any other culture, but I just know that our culture has been, as African Americans in America, 400 years, it was ripped from us. So it's like, okay, well, it's makeup time. And that's my part of it, that I really decided that I'm going to try and do something about it. Advertising images, same thing, Black publicists. There are very few, and it needs to be more. And 20 years ago, 25 years ago, it's still the same percentage. It should increase. So it's my mission to increase it.
I love it. And you are such an inspiration. That is exactly why I invited you on the show. You know, the theme of the show is to hear the journey, find the challenges, and create solutions. You know, we're trying to help entrepreneurs get that bit of marketing, get that bit of promotion that doesn't truly exist for us out there. You know, there is a lack of unity and a lack of community in the community to a certain degree. And if we can go ahead and align ourselves in a manner that helps promote that and support and move forward in that effort, that's our hope as well. So thank you for that. So tell us all about Pam Perry PR.
So PamPerryPR.com is an overall brand, but the company name is actually Ministry Marketing Solutions, Inc., started 20 years ago. PamPerryPR.com has really evolved just like Ministry Marketing Solutions has evolved. When it first started, it was primarily just working with ministries, African-American church, working with mega churches, helping them market and promote and brand their ministry. Then it became working with the pastors, helping them with their brand, helping them with their books. Then it became more than pastors. It became inspirational speakers, helping them write and promote their books. So I've done evolution of things, traditional publicist type of things, but now really it's more digital. So helping people with their digital marketing is really a big part of what I do right now, especially post-COVID. A lot of people are just realizing that there's so much more to do online than what they were doing before COVID. And the other thing is just really making sure that the speakers are really trained and branded well. So many people, especially baby boomers, have been in careers 30, 40 years, and they're leaving corporate world. And so they have to be branded. And so they don't really understand a lot online because they never had to really brand themselves or be involved in putting together a digital course or whatever that looks like. So I help them do that. And my family, my daughter actually works at an advertising agency. She graduated from college a few years ago. So she's an account executive, the same type of job I had when I came out of school. She's doing that. And I think maybe in a few years in terms of goals, I'd love to have her involved in the company as well. My husband has a advertising agency called The Advantage Communications. He does mostly corporate type of work. So eventually I'd like to see some kind of synergy between having our daughter involved in what we're doing. Pam Perry PR is really more like a personal brand. And so I think maybe in the few years, I'll probably just do consulting, maybe more speaking and things like that, and less tactical work, and have my daughter take over.
The family business.
Yeah.
I love that. I absolutely love when you can get the kids involved. I myself have not succeeded in that project ever.
It's one of those things where I was talking with friends of mine, and I don't know whether it's in the African-American community or what, mm-hmm. but they find that that is a challenge. Other than traditional businesses like funeral homes and things like that, you very see Black business legacy handed down. You mm-hmm. think about like Johnson Publishing. So John Johnson started it and Linda started it, then it sold. Robert Smith, you know, had BET, he had kids, what happened, you know, so those are the type of things that I'm just kind of like, I'm going to be different. I wanted to be a legacy. You know, there's something that like Jiffy Corn bread mix or whatever, that's a family business. It's like 100 years old, but never did those kids say, you know, I don't really want to be involved in that business. They grew up in it and it was expected that you're going to take over one day. So it's, that's another thesis or another show for another day.
I was just going to say that probably is another show for another day, because, you know, they probably did say no as teenagers at some point, knowing teenagers.
Right.
But, you know, they just grew and took an interest in that direction. Unlike, you know, a lot of our children are like, we have our own dreams and passions, which is something for generations we didn't have the ability to follow. So I think that has another, you know, a good part of why it is we don't see that interaction or that following in the same footsteps to a certain degree, but doesn't necessarily mean that they're not interested or wouldn't want to participate to some degree. Aside from my own, she's just not interested. I've tried. She is a brilliant, talented, award-winning photographer who refuses to take one picture of me. So, you know, that is why my social media suffers, audience. So there are no pictures of Lori there, and there will be one day, but, you know, we'll get there. So anyhow, Pam, if you had the ability to go back, say, 10, 15 years and tell yourself just one thing, what would that be?
I would say 10 years. I would probably just say, just believe in yourself, you know, go with your gut. Especially with people, when people show you who they are, believe them the first time. That has been a really, just go with your gut. It typically was always right, but we always try to override it because we try to rationalize everything. I was just like, go with your gut and just be more intuitive than I was, because I would always second guess and I would give people the benefit of the doubt. There's been some times when people were like not telling the truth, and I'm thinking like, well, everybody should be like me, but they were not. And so, so if I've ever had any problems, it's because I didn't listen to my intuition. I would say just go with your gut. If you feel it, that red flag, or you sense a red flag, it's probably a sign. God is not going to come down and hit you with a 2x4. All he can do is just really give you a nudge. And so if we override the nudge, then what happens is we'll just get in trouble. So I would say that there have been ideas that I didn't go for because I didn't believe in myself, believe in the intuition, didn't believe in my gut, maybe had the wrong people involved. I would just say, just go with your gut. That's really the main thing. Just sit still and know.
I love it. Absolutely love it. Because if you don't listen to intuition, you end up stumbling and you have that moment of regret, that should I, you know, could I have, and you'll always have that in the back of your mind. And we only live once. Mm-hmm. And enjoying this journey is probably the best part of entrepreneurship. So definitely, no, I agree with you wholly. Believe it's important. Listen to your instinct and go with it. Follow it. So.
Yeah. And I'd like to ask about shaping the narrative. You know, earlier you talked about how you learned about Tulsa and Black Wall Street as you became older. Much like myself and many others, you know, and one of the things in our culture is we've been hearing narrative, but it may not have been our narrative, and you're in a narrative space. So, you know, business-wise, as well as culture-wise, as well as generational-wise, what advice do you have or observations you have when it comes to crafting the narrative and telling, I wouldn't say a new story, but a new, you know, perspective to the story or stories that we've grown up hearing all of our lives?
I would say, I mean, there's so many different types of Black media now. And I would say really following maybe a different, like, I really like watching a lot of Black news, reading Black newspapers. NMPA, which is a National Newspapers Publishers Association. Dr. Ben Chavis is the president of that. He has a conference coming up. I'm going to be there. I'm going to listen. They are legacy newspapers. I say maybe two or three generations deep, some of them as well. I know the Afro-American is probably three generations, and then there's a Washington Informer that's two. So being that they created the Black newspaper to tell our stories, I'm really respectful for what they do. Kathy Hughes had the Black radio station. She had Black talk shows. I listened to Sirius XM, Urban View a lot, Karen Hunter and all of that lineup from Joe Madison, the civil rights. I'm involved in NAACP. There's things that are around us that we can really partake in. There's something called Dr. Greg Carr called The Narrative that Karen Hunter and they have that on Saturday. It's a club, and you can be a part of that. So it's just really about staying woke and just being involved in what is there, because it's real easy to get involved in pop culture, and pop culture is not Black culture. It's a whole nother type of thing showing a whole nother narrative. And it's really based on greed and lust and just, you know, that whole, a whole different scene. Whereas if you're following someone like Sirius XM and you listen to any of the shows there, Laura Coates, even on CNN, I mean, even Don Lemon has been on fire the last few years, which is really interesting to me to see him really just being so pro-Black. There are a few people out there. I mean, Joy Reid, they're pro-Black. I mean, so you look at Tiffany Cross. So there are people out there. We just have to be behind them and share their messages, retweet them, you know, add a girl at them, and just keep them motivated so they keep telling the narrative that it's truth. It's truth. It's just not a lot of them. You know, I mean, there was at one point Tavis Smiley, you know, he fell from grace and he's not around anymore. But then there's, you know, Reverend Al Sharpton, he's still on the air. And then you look at, you know, Jesse Jackson is not as vocal anymore, but he was there when George Floyd verdict went down, and he and Al Sharpton really just warmed my heart. He got on the plane and flew there and celebrated that verdict when Derek Chauvin pled, you know, when he was convicted, and him and Al, you know, had a hug and that sort of thing. So it's around us. This month's Essence, you know, pop culture in a way, but it talked about the year that changed the world. Great issue. Love that issue. It was very riveting to see what they were talking about. Soledad O'Brien, she has her own show. So we just have to support them. They're there, and quit really promoting shows that have nothing to do with us. Like, I mean, the Kardashians are going off the air, but you know, like the Kardashians, it's like, why would anybody Black watch that show? Yeah. What good is that going to add to your life? You know, no shade on them, but really it's like they got their money and they ain't trying to give it to Black people. So whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot with all the information that's being given to everyone, you know, the question I always get, I just had this conversation before our call today, and a friend of mine said, well, all you have to do is just Google it or Wikipedia it. And I'm like, do you know that that's not really making it factual? It just means that it was optimized. And he's like, no, it was in Wikipedia. And I'm like, yeah, Wikipedia just is really basically, if you become an editor at Wikipedia, you can state your opinion. It doesn't make it facts. And so I think that's kind of hard with so much information being pushed around to understand true sources of the narrative and where their perspective is coming from. So, being that you are considered the PR guru and you know how the inner workings work when it comes to narrative building, you know, you would have great insights on that.
Yeah. And I mean, publicists are from the standpoint, they're trying to promote things for the client. They're to put a spin on it. That is true of what we were taught in school. But then a publicist has to figure out what are their values, what do they want to promote. And I only promote what I believe in. So it could be another publicist that promotes trash. That's their prerogative. They could do whatever. But it is true that publicists are promoting things and they say, oh, you put a spin on it or whatever. I mean, that is so true. But when you know the power of media and the responsibility about that, you as a Black person, you would really take it a lot more sacred, make it a lot more sacred.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree 100%. And that's why we tried to design the show to truly help with the journey. The show is really designed to help entrepreneurs come up with an idea for a business in an industry that they may not have been thinking of. So Pam, we'd love to help you when thinking about public relations. If you could wave a magic wand and change anything at all in the PR industry, what do you think?
Oh, she has the wand.
Oh, I love it.
I do have a wand.
Pam, you are outstanding. I love it. You have the magic wand. So wave that magic wand. And what is it that you would change in the public relations industry if you could?
I would change one of the things I want people to understand, that anything worth having takes time. So there's so much where people think that being an overnight success is really possible. All I have to do is do A, B, and C and do a photo shoot and so it's like, it's not that easy. It's not that easy. When you see someone like when Oprah was on back in the day, you know, you see an author go on Oprah and then all of a sudden they're like a millionaire, right? Because people bought millions of that book. But then even then, it's like they've written a lot of stuff before they got to Oprah, right? It's like, it's so anyway, if I could change anything, I would try to manage expectations. Mm. Manage expectations to realize that it takes at least maybe 16 to 18 months to really build some kind of footing for a brand. There was I did a Clubhouse the other day on the making of a bestseller and the New York Times list, but it was for Lovie, who wrote the book, I'm Judging You. But she had been blogging for 11 years. Yeah, she blogged for 11 years, just about every day. So it was not an overnight success when her book came out. I was like, she was blogging for 11 years. People think she came out of nowhere. So it's really interesting. Just letting people know that it does take time. Being consistent is really important. It's not about the optics. It's not about social media. Public relations has to do with really engaging with your community, with the public, with the media, all the relationships. You know, so when people are on social media and they're like, oh, okay, well, I've got so much on Instagram or so much on LinkedIn, I've got 25,000 on Twitter, whatever. And they have to realize that each one of those could be a relationship that really could be a dynamic that changes your life and their life, not just a collection of numbers. And so if I would like people to just really get that out of the way, like we talk about social media marketing, but it used to be called social networking. And so the keyword was networking, but people don't network. They're just trying to market. So if there was anything I would change, it would be like the perspective of that for people to really get back to really taking time to have relationships with people, taking time to understand that it takes a while to build a brand, being consistent, staying on focus, not be competitive with other people, just only compete with yourself and just stay in your lane. I always tell people, just stay in your lane, do the best that you can do and it'll work out. So yeah, that's what I would change, because it's just so many schemes, I guess you would say. If someone has a good copywriter and can put up a good landing page, they figure, oh, okay, well, you can build a brand and you can be famous in 30 days. Well, you know, that's not true. It's not true.
Because it's a journey. It's an entrepreneurial journey, and no journey is going to be done in, you know, the snap of a finger or the drop of a hat. No. You have to take the baby steps and be consistent about taking those baby steps. There's going to be pivots, there's going to be transition, there's going to be changes, but as long as you keep that focus, which is, you know, such a resounding statement throughout this show and this series in particular, if you keep that focus on, you know, the end goal, that passion, that drive, what it is you're attempting to accomplish, your mission, you'll get there.
Yeah.
But that journey is part of it, and you have to take it, because it's not going to happen any other way.
Yeah. I love that quote that they said, it took 20 years to become an overnight success. I mean, you know, that's just a powerful quote.
Any of the Motown stars, they went through a whole process of training, and they were groomed, and they went to like a charm school, and you know, it was a process. It was a production. You know, Berry Gordy's from Detroit, so it was like a factory, right? He put them at the beginning of the line, and then they come out the line, and they had certain things that he put in them that made them the superstars that they were. It wasn't like they had a great song and then they were on TV, you know, American Bandstand or Ed Sullivan. It took a minute. It took a minute. Even the
there's Jackson a lot of hurdles. Yeah, yes, there's a lot of notes throughout the journey. So, but Pam, you've been outstanding. I thank you for taking the time to share your journey with us.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you. I brought my magic wand, so I think...
Be my fairy godmother. Be my fairy godmother.
The most prepared guest ever.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Certainly. So don't forget to reach out, PamPerryPR.com. Pam, thank you.
Thank you.